Today on Embark.
There's a phrase in the industry called pod fade. You started this game with all guns a-blazing, and then you did three or four episodes, and then you got bored. It takes a lot of discipline, and it does take work. You have to go into podcasting knowing nobody cares about your podcast until they do. So you got to give them a reason to care about your podcast. You have to distinguish it in some way. And you have to be ready to put in a lot of work, probably for not much reward.
Hi, and welcome to Embark. I'm Liz Solar, and we love to speak with creatives and innovators here. And one of the things that's come up, and it's been around for 20 years, is podcasting. Really, it's in the last 2 or 3 years, maybe because we're spending so much time at home or in a car by ourselves, and we just need someone to relate to. And I think podcasting gives us an opportunity to relate to someone else or have somebody relate to us. So today, we are welcoming the fabulous David Yaz. He's the founder and CEO of the Boston Podcast Network. He's been producing podcasts since 2015 and has put his signature on approximately 1,000 episodes as a creative influence, host, editor, and promoter. He's the host of the Boston Podcast and recently featured me as a guest, and that was wicked fun. I have to say that legally because we're from Boston. David spent many years in the newspaper business as publisher of the Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly, which he guided to an all-time high in paid circulation and profits, which is not an easy thing to do in print. For 20 years, David was an attorney who practiced law with Roberto, Israel, and Weiner. David's degree is in communications from the University of Pennsylvania. His JD is from Boston University School of Law. But wait, there's more. David's been a commentator where he's provided perspective on legal matters for media outlets, including CNN, CNBC, NPR Radio, and the Boston Globe. Now, here's an accolade to be proud of. He was named Best Humor Columnist by the New England Press Association. That is not an easy crowd to please, and comedy is hard. He lives with his family in Sharon, Massachusetts, where he also coaches youth sports. He's also the founder of the New England Club Special Needs and contributes his time to many special needs organizations. The guy sounds too good to be true, but that's the way we like him here. Let's welcome the irrepressible and really impressive David Yaz. Hi, David.
Both irrepressible and impressive?
I mean, when do you sleep?
I sleep plenty, as a matter of fact. I need to sleep less, but thank you for that fabulous introduction. I like
You're
the way
welcome.
You said fabulous David Yaz. I might legally change my name to that, just like Marvelous Marvin Hagler changed his. You know? That has a nice ring to it.
I'm going to thoroughly endorse that, David. So we're going to talk mostly podcasting today. I watched that little video that you have on the website where, you know, there's a question like anyone can have a podcast. And we know that. I mean, as a voice actor, anybody can do it now. All you need is a microphone and a laptop. But, you know, the question is, just because you have that and just because just because you can, does it mean you should? So I want to keep it positive here. But as someone like you who specializes in podcasting, you must listen to quite a few. What are you hearing in terms of audio quality and content?
Yeah, a lot of them sound like they're recorded in their mom's basement, and because a lot of them are. But yeah, you asked the important question. That's the Jeff Goldblum question from Jurassic Park. You were so obsessed with, could you do this? You didn't stop to ask the question, should you do it? And there is a very funny, phony public service announcement by a bunch of celebrities that say, we implore you people, this is a dire situation. Please listen to us. Don't start a podcast. Nobody wants to hear your podcast. So it's both. Podcasting is kind of the great equalizer because you pointed out it really is a low barrier of entry. If you do have a laptop and a microphone, you can do your own podcast. And we joke, but I don't want to discourage anyone from following their vision for a show. That's what we do. People many times a week, I'm fielding requests. I've got a great idea for a podcast. What do you think? And you know, what we do here at Pod 617 is we try to give that vision a little bit of focus. It's nice that so many people are interested, but yes, there are a million podcasts and most of them are kind of amateurish and people messing around. So we try to distinguish from those.
Right. And I was reading, there's anywhere from between, and it depends on where you get your information, but I was reading between 2.2 million and 2.7 or 8 million podcasts out there, maybe worldwide, and many of them are only three episodes.
Yeah, there's a lot of stats out there, so I don't question yours. It could be that there are a million active. I don't know. Most, there's a phrase in the industry called pod fade, and that means you started this game with all guns a-blazing, and then you did three or four episodes, and then you got bored, or you let, you know, 3 months lapse before your next episode. And so it takes a lot of discipline, and it does take work. So you have to go into podcasting knowing that, for one, nobody cares about your podcast until they do. So you got to give them a reason to care about your podcast. You have to distinguish it in some way. And you have to be ready to put in a lot of work, probably for not much reward. It's a very small fraction of podcasts that actually make money, even smaller fraction that people can actually make their living off of podcasting. And so what you got to do is love it. Know that you're going to love the process and just enjoy it and create something that you're proud of. And if that's all your goal is, then God bless you. Then you can absolutely do it.
Right. And lately I've heard, several podcasts where they're limited series. It's almost like what streaming services are doing on television for, hey, here's a series. It's only going to be six episodes. They're a half hour. We've completed the series. So we're not coming back for eight or nine seasons until, you know, somebody's jumping a shark or something like that. So are you seeing more of a trend with that in terms of the creation of podcast series?
By the way, I jumped a shark on the last episode of my podcast. I thought that would be a good stunt. Yeah. What you bring? Yeah, I didn't realize Fonzie had done it before. I think you've brought up a very good point, and that is that part of podcasting is having a plan. That's what I tell people. It's like, well, how often should I do it? And it's like, well, the most successful podcasts are weekly, but there's nothing wrong with doing one every other week. There's nothing wrong with doing monthly. But the best thing to do is to have a plan when you go in. And the great thing about podcasting is it's still in some regard the Wild West. You just make up the rules. There's no rules as to whether you can do how many episodes are in a season, how often they come out or anything like that. So I tell a lot of people, yeah, do a 12 episodes, do a 12 episode season and then stop and see if you still like it. Do season two. If not, well, you've created a good library of information there. It's definitely a good way to package things.
Exactly. And this is maybe a little early to get into this, but one of the things is we're human. We love reward. You know, I'm going to run and fetch that ball, but you got to give me a cookie afterwards. So, oh, that's my dog. I'm sorry. come to think of it, yeah, I'm motivated the same way. So if you're producing this podcast, and when we both do that, we know how much work there is. It can be really labor intensive. You're recording it, but if you're paying attention at all, you got to listen back. It might need to be edited. If you have any kind of sound design to it, that has to be added in. So it's a lot of time and it's a lot of effort and could be a long time before you monetize it. So let's get to monetization. How do you do that?
The best way to do it is to expect very little. That's the first thing. And I shouldn't joke about it because this is my business. I help people produce podcasts and many have monetized it. By the way, I am expecting a cookie after the show, Liz. I hope there's one on the way.
I'm baking as we speak.
Come on. Oh, good. Good. Monetization. So the best way I tell people to make money off of a podcast is to actually use it as a vehicle to sell something else. So if you have a book that you want to promote, if you have some kind of product, if you own a pizza parlor and you want to do a podcast about pizza, promote the pizza parlor on the podcast. And then that's most likely to lead to direct, because then, you know, you get 100 people that listen to the first episode. A few of them might stroll into the pizza. Yeah, sounds good. I'll go get pizza, whatever. Or I'll buy your t-shirt or your mug or something like that. That's probably the best way, because you have to, like I said, nobody cares about your podcast at the beginning. And so it takes a lot of patience to build an audience. If you're looking to get a sponsor for your show, it's certainly possible, but it takes a lot of patience and it takes a lot of stick-to-itiveness. The agencies, like if you're looking, oh, I'll just go to an ad agency and say, you know, get me a sponsor for my show. They won't even talk to you until you've got 10,000 downloads per episode. Well, most people are never going to get there. It's just But however, you can sell a sponsorship with zero listeners. You can go to, let's say you do a podcast about fashion and there's a little store on the corner called Duds for Kids. I don't know. I'm making this up. And you go to this little local business and say, I'm doing a podcast about fashion. You guys sell clothes. How about if you give me $50 an episode and we'll kind of see where this goes and I'll promote you and have you on my show. And so you can sell the concept. So that's another way to do it. And then the third way that's worth mentioning is to use an outfit like Patreon. So there are others, but Patreon is the one I've experienced with. It's a website. It's not a sponsor of your show nor mine, Liz. So I don't know how much attention we should give it, but it does work. It provides a way for listeners to, in a way, it's kind of like a virtual tip jar, but in another way, it's kind of allows the listener to sort of become part of the community and chip in. So it'll say like, pay $5 a month to our podcast and we'll send you a t-shirt and we'll mention you on the show. And so you become a patron of that podcast. And it does work. I have had podcasts that have been, now it's not going to get you rich overnight. It takes a lot of patience like anything else, but that is another way to monetize it.
Right. And in the end, it's a numbers game. It's a numbers, growing how many people are listening to your podcast, growing how many available, sponsors that you can get for your podcast as well, because it might not be a huge deluge of cash being infused into it, but there are smaller donations to be made. It's sort of like we're funded by you, our listeners. Those can be very small donations, but they add up.
Absolutely. Actually, I left out an important one. One of the best ways to make your podcast valuable to you is to use it for your business purposes in whatever way you normally would. So I'll give an example. I produce a podcast called Shine On. It's attorney Evan Shine. He's in New York. He's a divorce lawyer. He doesn't have a sponsor for his show is his own law firm. So he uses it as a promotion for his own legal services. But he'll invite guests on the show that are like, top-notch therapists and experts in the industry and experts in family dynamics and things like that. Every person he invites on the show, he gives them a lot of fanfare. We produce a great show. Afterwards, we say, you sounded great on the show. We hope you share it with your network. Now, that person will have Evan more top of mind when it comes to sending him business. So, and in that regard, he didn't need any listeners for that. In other words, you invite someone on your show that you want to, impress or do business with in the future, and they have a good experience, they may send you a client, they may do you a solid, they may contribute to your whatever. So it's that's something I always try to, because it's fun to be guests on a podcast. I mean, I know this. Most people won't turn it down. It's one thing to say, hey, let's meet at Panera for a cup of coffee and talk about how we can do business together. Well, a lot of people are going to say, I don't know, it doesn't sound great. But if you say, come on, I want you to be a guest on my show. Come on my show and tell your story. Very few people are going to turn that down.
Absolutely. I mean, there are whole businesses now built around being a guest on podcasts, like not even hosting it. Just, hey, come on and just tell people what you do.
Yeah. And that's an area that we try to encourage among the podcasts that we produce is, we will do these, monthly Zoom sessions and people will talk about who's been a good guest. I had this great guest on my podcast. They could be a guest on your podcast. And I mean, you put your finger on it, Liz. One of the best ways to promote your own podcast is to be a guest on the other one. So in case you missed the point here, people, listen to the Boston podcast. See, now I'm capitalizing on your audience. So, and as you've capitalized on mine. So
absolutely, as you should. And so to that point, because Boston podcast, do you find that people from outside the Boston area, outside New England, are also listening to the Boston podcast?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do look at the analytics and I have listeners in Egypt and the Ukraine and Ireland and Japan, and I have no idea why. My theory is that maybe they're Boston transplants that want like a little dose of Boston so that they don't feel so homesick. But I named the show the Boston Podcast 4 years ago mainly because no one else had that title for the show, and I'm like, no one else has this. I'm taking the Boston Podcast Network, and I'm going to see what's what. But it's that thing about the internet thing is somehow everybody has it all across the world, and so you'll find it, and it's we know this, but it's a great way to connect with old friends. And if you appear, if I have my college roommate who's a PR expert and I have him on my show, there are going to be people that listen from all across the country that just see it posted on social media. And so the possibilities are endless.
That's really true. To that point, because we're talking about Boston and who's listening outside of the area, how do you feel about being really hyper-local with what you have to say in your podcast, i.e. that, you know, that pizza place around the corner that has its own podcast and maybe 100 people are listening, but if you get a 2%, 3% return, that's pretty good.
That's right. It's just a matter of changing my accent, Liz. If I have someone on local, you got a wicked effective business over there. Tell us about all your secrets and whatnot. Sometimes even my Boston accent is bad, even though I'd have a little bit of one embedded in there somewhere. Anyway, someone asked me this question. I was talking to a lawyer in Chicago who I may be working with starting up his podcast. And he said, most of my business is going to come from Chicago. Should I make the show really Chicago Central? And I said, that's one way to go. But the nice thing is you can do both. You can pivot. You can have one episode where you do interview someone and talk all things Chicago. And then you can do one where you're just talking about something compelling and people all across the country will listen to it. And, you know, you never know when some lawyer in LA is going to say, hey, I got a brother in Chicago. He needs a good lawyer. So I think you can be both. But I did, in fairness, my original vision for the Boston Podcast Network was that it would be a local deal. I mean, obviously, it's because if people who have to ask what Pod 617 means, I realize they're not from Boston. Because in case you don't know, folks, 617 is the area code for Boston. So I was playing on the area code thing. But like I said, you know, you can be both. People will listen. You'll be surprised where your listeners come from. And, you know, you could have a guest on that, say the guy is an author and he comes from Pittsburgh. And after he's on your show, he sends it around to all his friends in Pittsburgh. And all of a sudden you pick up some listeners in Pittsburgh. So why not? Right.
Absolutely. You produce a lot of podcasts. How many right now are you producing?
I've lost count, Liz. Wow. Over the years, the business I should count, I guess. I mean, at least four dozen or so. We're talking somewhere between 50 and 100 different shows. Now, not all of them are still going. Some of them kind of run their course and people mm-hmm. say, well, I did this for a year. It's nice. But at any given time, there are, you know, probably a couple dozen active podcasts on our website. You know, we try to give our clients what they want. And some people I work with, we produce the whole show from start to finish and they come into here to our Westwood studios and they record. And then others will say, you know, I just need help like uploading it and getting it on the platforms. And so, you know, we'll charge that person something much less and they'll still be part of our podcast family.
Right. So as many podcasts that you've produced over the years and currently, what do you see in your work, just in, you know, in your little area, as trends in terms of topics and formats, or has it remained pretty consistent?
I guess I'd say it's remained consistent in terms of like the popular national or global podcasts. It's no secret as to what those are. They tend to be dominated by true crime, comedians and news sources and other sort of long form storytelling like the NPR type stuff. Mm-hmm. But what's great about podcasting is I think you never know when the next idea is going to come from. I had these two women that came to me and they said, well, we want to start a podcast. We're so funny together. And everyone says you guys should have a podcast. And I said, oh, what's it about? And they said, oh, I don't know. You know, we're just going to talk about, you know, actors and, you know, things we think is funny. And I'm like, all right, we need something more specific here. So give me an example. And so they said, okay, we're going to talk about that Peloton TV ad this is at the time it was a controversial ad. You'll probably remember that list.
I do. But,
yeah. And so this is not because Big from Sex and the City fell off it. This is the prior Peloton controversy. Anyway, so they said, yeah, we're going to talk about how terrible that TV ad was. And I said, well, maybe that can be your podcast. How about you review TV commercials and you talk about whether you like them, you don't, what it kind of means for society, and then go back and look at a TV commercial from the 80s and the 70s and the 60s and play them on your show and comment on them. And that sounds like a really good show. And they said, no, we don't want to do that. And I said, okay. But that's the best podcasts, I think, are the ones where you say, you know what these guys do? So it's, I call it, well, I don't have a good name for it. That's all. That's my name for it. It's the What These Guys Do podcast. In other words, you know what these guys do? They go back in history and they trace the history of a disease. And it sounds gross, but it's actually really interesting to hear, like, this disease started here and then it hit here. That is an actual podcast, by the way. I don't know what it's called, but when I heard that, I'm like, that's a good idea for a podcast. I wanted to do a music podcast with my college roommate. And so we kicked around different ideas and he said, let's make it a time machine shtick where we go back in time and we land in like 1982. And then we look at the top 10 on that day. And we talk about, do we remember the song? Is it good? What was this? Has this held up? What the hell were we thinking with this song? And so that became our show. It's called Past Tens, play on word, T-E-N-S, Past Tens, a top 10 time machine. So we think we're very clever. I don't know. And some of our listeners agree. So I don't know. But there you go. That's great.
There's something for everybody. And one thing we forget about anything creative, but anything that we do in life, you know, we figure everybody's going to love it. And if they don't, somehow we've failed them. Or I think you find your people.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Know. People hate your podcast. That's good, too, because they're paying attention. But you're right. Find your people. Podcast is the ultimate niche. You know, if you're going to talk about movies on your podcast, be more specific. What's your favorite kind of movie? If it's horror movies, what's you know, classic horror movies from the 50s? Okay, now you've got a niche. There's a certain amount of people out there that will absorb anything about that or about Star Trek. Or about ceramics, or about bobblehead dolls, or whatever it may be. You can, you know, the more specific, the better.
The bobblehead podcast. I think people are waiting for that one.
You get the bobbleheads on my desk. It's the first thing that popped into my head.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, there you go. I feel like I'd be remiss in not mentioning Joe Rogan and what's happening at Spotify. And maybe people are sick of hearing about it, or maybe people don't know enough about it. But do you want to weigh in any way in terms of what's happening? Is this good for podcasting? Is it good for Spotify? It seems right now it's pretty good for Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I don't know any more about the Rogan situation than your average observer. But I would say that anything that draws attention to podcast is great. In my book, because I think we're past the point where it's not a fad anymore. This is not like Betamax where podcasting is just going to go away. The only thing I'd say about the Rogan thing is, like, in my world, the Rogan thing kind of doesn't matter because I'm doing podcasts for people that most of whom want to promote their business or it's just some passion project of theirs. And they're probably going to get, you know, listeners in the thousands, but not in the tens of thousands. And that's okay for them. A podcast is like a vehicle for something else. You can't compare yourself to Rogan's podcast because Rogan's podcast, it's a national deal, right? It is like, you know, the Tonight Show of podcasts. And if that's the Tonight Show of podcasts, then most people's podcasts are like not even your cable access TV show. In other words, it's a different animal, you know, altogether. You just both happen to be called a podcast. I mean, I love that Spotify has, you know, really jumped into the podcast world because I think it just, the competition is good between Apple Podcasts and Spotify because people have different preferences. And sometimes I find the Apple Podcast app is difficult to use and I curse it and switch over to Spotify and then I switch back or whatever. But if you meant the sort of, for lack of a better word, the censor, it's not so much a censorship battle. I guess it's a content battle, right? Over, you know, Rogan's stance on vaccinations and whatnot. You know, Neil Young says I'm off of Spotify unless you take Joe Rogan off. I never really liked Neil Young in the first place, so it doesn't bother me that much. But I it sounded a little short-sighted to me. Like, just because you disagree with a guy, why can't he be on this platform? You know, people listen. Spotify is a wonderful app. People use it for a zillion different reasons. You know, it's got, you know, folk music, it's got classical music, it's got podcasts, it's got everything. And so I thought that was a little odd. You know, disagree with the guy, but, you know, Spotify promotes his pod, tons of people listen to it, so be it.
All right. So you have weighed in. Thank you very much for that. Now, you were talking about music in one of your shows is Past Tens, and we both share this love of music. So I have to ask you, tell me, you know, what you're listening to, what kind of music are you including in your podcast? Give us a little insight into your mind.
Well, do you really want to go there, Liz? We, as I said, the shtick is we go back in time. Usually we land in the 80s and it's just fun. You know, we'll go back and we try to build some suspense. We're like, okay, here it comes. Here's what the number 10 song was. And it's, you know, Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And we'll comment on that. And my friend, my sidekick Milt, he does a lot of research and he'll tell you, you know, Cyndi Lauper was actually a nuclear physicist before she went into music. That's not true, but he'll have some fact like that. And then the next one will be, you know, a Flock of Seagulls song. It's like, oh, I remember this one. And it's great. And then we do other little doodads. We, towards the end of the show, we do a bit called The Replacement, where we try to change history and we take one song out of the top 10 and replace it with one that we'd rather have in there. And then we just debate things. And, you know, if a song is making us sick, I'll probably play some kind of vomit soundtrack, sound effect or something like that. I think a lot of people have found us just because it's music nostalgia in a way that maybe hasn't been done precisely that way in the past. It's fun to recall songs that you wouldn't normally seek out. Like, you know, oh my God, this song by NXS, I haven't heard it in forever, but I used to love the song. It brings back memories. We'll have people come on the show and talk about what they remember from that era and things like that.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yes.
Oh, can I be a guest on that show someday?
Yes. Let's book it. What would be your favorite year of music if you had to pick one?
I have the weirdest taste in music. I love all of it. If I had to go back to it, I think that there are some songs from certain years that just are representative of things that I love. Mm-hmm. Like if I hear Led Zeppelin's The Rain Song, it's like, oh my God. Then I can hear like The War on Drugs and I'm loving that. So I don't know that there's any year. I think there's more feelings like Al Green's Can't Get Next to You blows the Temptations out of the water. You know, I love the Foo Fighters. I recently listened to David Bowie's Station to Station just because, man, David Bowie.
Bowie is, I was just saying this to my cousins because somebody posted a video with a background of Bowie, and I don't remember what it was, but Bowie songs get used a lot in the background of movies and sometimes commercials. Mm-hmm. And I said, you could have a video of a dog licking himself. And if there was a Bowie song playing in the background, it would seem poignant, you know?
Well, and that's like Station to Station. I'm thinking there's a lot in there. Although someone told me that David Bowie, I think he made the album in 1976 and he does not remember it at all. Or he did not remember it at all.
He had no, how does that work? How does he not remember?
I guess he was otherwise engaged in 1976. I don't know. It's just a crazy thing, but he's one of my rock and roll touchstones. I guess that would be, but you know, on the other hand, I'm loving Kurt Vile. I have a son who's crazy about music and he'll send me stuff like, listen to this. So yeah,
I'm close to your generation, Liz. So I need people to wake me up to the music of today. I for a while as a sort of side lark project, I used to DJ weddings and bar mitzvahs and things like that with a friend of mine. And I was really into the era of music that was like the, circa 2005 to 2010. So a lot of the hip hop stuff. I'm finally to the point now where the music of today is like, I don't get it. You kids today, I don't understand. Liz, I have an Al Green trivia question for you. Are you game?
Sure.
What song by Adam Ant mentions Al Green in the lyrics?
You have stumped the band.
It's Goody Two Shoes by Adam Ant. You'll probably remember it, but the lyrics say, opening your eyeballs, pretending that you're Al Green. And I just noticed that one day. I thought it was an interesting little tribute to Al Green.
That's one of the only Adam Ant songs that I know. And I was going to say that. So you should always go with your first impulse. And I didn't. So there's a lesson there somewhere. I'm not sure what it is, but
I think we all learned something today, Liz.
Because we're all about learning here, learning and growing. This was delightful, David. I hope that we can do this again soon.
Would love to. We'll have to have you on Past Tense. And anytime you want me to return to Embark, I would love to. You're doing such a great job with the show. So great storytelling, great guests, especially today's guest. And keep it up.
Thanks much. That's David Yaz from Pod 617. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Pod617.com. Everything's there. I mean, you can find us on the socials at Pod617, but that's it. Get in touch with us. We'd love to talk to you. You could be a guest on one of our show. You could be the next big podcast star, just like Liz.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I would like to thank the Academy first, but but from now on, you will continue to be the fabulous David Yaz.
I love it. I love it. I'm putting it on my business card. Thank you.
You can find David Yaz's social links in the liner notes. If you like what you hear, share this episode, tell a friend, and please subscribe. Get in touch with your comments, feedback, and story ideas at liz@embarkthepodcast.com. Next week on Embark, filmmaker Ju Shen. She'll share her stories of family, grief, and getting a documentary made. We hope you'll join us. In the meantime, thanks for listening.